All right, here we are, and there is a lot going on. Well, it's not one of those things where you've seen one pandemic, you've seen them all. It's just an amazing thing to watch unfold. It's a tremendous challenge to Dr. Henry Nyman and yours truly to try to track it all, although we do it entirely different ways. He's a scientist, I'm a journalist, but the stories today that we're going to touch upon are of major importance, to put it mildly. First up, let me just run down a few headlines and we'll get right to Henry to elaborate. The U.S. State Department has finally decided to evacuate the remaining Americans and their families from the Corona Princess, my name, anchored in Yokohama Harbor, Japan, before they all get sick and many of them die. So the State Department finally, as we predicted, had to buckle in, buckle under, and buckle up, and they're going to get those people out of there. All right? 40 Americans on the Corona Princess already quarantined in hospitals, diagnosed COVID positive. 110 Japanese on the quarantine ship also positive. Just as a side note, the Royal Caribbean has canceled 18 cruises this spring, as thousands remain trapped aboard the big ship in Japan, and it is just destroying. It's a $5 billion industry. Big trouble. Okay, how's this for brilliance? Story of the day. King County, Washington health officials have been sending suspected coronavirus cases to local motels. Let that sink in for a minute. CDC announces it is preparing for a major COVID disaster here in the U.S. Another story we've got up for you, why it's too late to contain coronavirus, COVID, which is what we've been saying here for a long time. Henry was the first to make it clear on the world stage that this is going to burn through America and much of the world, apparently. It's already out there. All right, we're going to get to that in just a minute as well. CDC director says, it is a quote, it's coming. U.S. military is now preparing for the coronavirus pandemic as well. And if you notice the story I had up yesterday, the Chinese Army and the Chinese Navy and the armed police forces are all heavily infected already. China appears to be on the brink of some kind of a potential, I won't say disintegration, but some major crises are headed China's way very soon. All right, that's just a quick look at some of the stories up there. Henry, welcome back. How are you? You getting caught up there finally?
I'm getting kind of caught up. I don't know. It's still a lot of catch up. As you said, a lot of stories today in there. They're all kind of going in the same direction, which isn't a good one. And each country's kind of got a slightly different stage of the soon-to-be pandemic. And it's just CDC did have a teleconference. That's where some of those headlines came from today. And WHO had one. They weren't necessarily that unusual. It wasn't any one particular event that. These are kind of just regularly scheduled now, and but they the CDC one was made it pretty clear that they were expecting the virus to come here and be community spread, and one step that they have taken is. Five of the centers in the U.S. where they normally do influenza screening to get an idea how much influenza is floating around, they're going to have them also test for the COVID. So they're getting kits. And there's some of the flu-like symptoms and they're negative for the flu, then they're going to follow up and test them right there.
Well, we'll assume the kits will work this time.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get to that. Well, anyway, the centers, before we get to the kits, which seem to be a major issue in many countries, but in the U.S., the testing will be done at L.A., San Francisco, Seattle, Chicago, and New York City. So those are the five sites that will be getting.
But what are they going to do, Henry? Somebody goes into a doctor and says, yeah, I think I got the flu, and the doctor says no. So he's going to send them to one of these major centers to be tested in L.A., San Francisco,
Seattle? These are existing centers that are set up for screening and kind of monitoring influenza. So this is part of the influenza monitoring network.
Okay.
And so the doctors at those networks, if somebody, you know, as they would normally test to see if the person has influenza, if they're negative for influenza, then they'll immediately test. So it's not like they're going to be shipping a bunch of samples around or sending a bunch of people around. That these are going to go to the same facilities. And I think they're mostly, you know, existing clinics and various doctors that are participating in this network. So it's not
once they start a specialized
screening. It's just those five cities are the ones that they're going to target with the kids.
Once they begin doing this, the secondary testing, I wonder how forthcoming they'll be with the results.
No, I think they're going to be forthcoming because they, what they're anticipating is if they do find, you know, that the virus is fairly widespread, then they're going to be making recommendations like closing schools, having people
work from home.
Yeah. Right. And, various, you know, efforts to kind of minimize mass gatherings and to kind of blunt the spread of the virus. And so they want to know. The problem is what they're doing now is they're waiting for people to kind of come forward, and they're getting tests, and they're mostly getting people that are just arriving. But they know that people have been arriving all along, and they know that there's
arriving
virus
from
in
China.
Well, it was China. Now it's not just China. So that's what the issue is. There's local transmission ongoing in Singapore and Hong Kong. I said that a few days ago. Now it looks like there's community transmission going on in Japan. So, you know, it's not just China. I mean, it used to be just Wuhan. Then it was, any city in China. And now it's several other countries. And so that's what the issue is. It's not even going to be that simple saying, it's kind of like, have you been out of the country type of thing, not have you been to China. And so, there's, as I said a few days ago, the virus is definitely already here. It's just a matter of seeing how much there is that they're missing because, number one, in some cases, it's going to be mild. And so people aren't going to be thinking of this virus. I mean, you can kind of watch some of the videos coming off of the Diamond Princess. The virus is there, and you know there's a concern they have it, and one of the symptoms is you cough, and people are coughing, and they think because they don't have a fever that they're negative, that it's the air conditioning, air is a little bit too dry, or, you know, they've been talking too long, or... But, you know, there's a very, very good chance they have the virus. Now, whether they'll test positive for the virus is another question mark. And there seem to be issues with the kit at a minimum in the United States, in China, and in Japan. And that's probably an indication that there's issues with the kits everywhere. So, they're giving false negatives, and that's what the problem is. And so there's some inconsistent results, and sometimes they work, and sometimes they don't work. the U.S., you know, had planned to roll out these kits this week. Actually, they sent them out, and then they were doing, you know, testing at the sites to see how well the kits performed. And that's when they saw there were some problems with some of the assays. And so they haven't really approved the kits for use against actual patients until they kind of figure out. I think one of the tests in particular was giving inconclusive results. So they're looking to replace, clean that up. And so they're still pretty much, relying upon tests going into, the CDC as far as, this particular test. And then, apparently the same thing happened in China, that they either had a shortage of the test or it was not giving good results. I know at the very beginning it wasn't, and they said they had a more robust test, but now I'm not sure that, that test is that accurate. And so they were, you know, I had thought they had tested all of these that were suspect, had already been PCR positive once. But it sounds like they had a shortage of kits, and they were basically just doing a clinical diagnostic and sending it on to Wuhan to be tested.
This would have been back in November and early December. This had been November, early December.
No, more recently. No. Much more. No.
I'm trying to make the point that this was percolating in the background for a long time before it really made the headlines. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, it made the headlines because all of a sudden they decided that they were going to just classify the suspect cases as confirmed. Based on the clinical. So they were going to review them in Wuhan on what the details were on these patients, and rather than confirm them with the test, which they either didn't have confidence in or were short on. I'm not sure, it could have been both. And so they took a lot of the suspect ones and classified them based upon clinical review as confirmed. And so they had a big spike in cases like 2 days ago. And so, the number today, your listeners might be surprised at the number, although I've been sending it, so I don't know, you might have kept an update. But the number of confirmed cases today is 66,492. So that's, quite a bit higher than it was a couple days ago. And the big jump happened like 2 days ago. It went up like 15,000 in one day. And that got a lot of headlines of people saying, what's going on? The confirmed cases jumped by 15,000, and the deaths jumped by, 250. And, that was them switching over from, just switching suspect cases to confirmed cases based on, clinical data. And I had said all along that they had a big backlog on the suspect and that they needed to get a final PCR test in Wuhan. But apparently they either didn't have the test or didn't have the confidence in the test, so they went ahead and changed them without actually doing the test. And then WHO said, well, who are all these new confirmed cases? You know, what was the criteria? And are you sure you weren't getting flu cases? And when were these new cases that were converted over? When did they first, be known to you? Are these new cases or these old cases? And the rationale was that they were kind of, limiting how aggressively they were handling these cases until they were confirmed. And so to improve the treatment, they would just review it and say, well, these really are definitely COVID cases and moved them in the confirmed category. So it had a big effect there. And then it's apparently part of the reason the testing on the Diamond princess off the coast of Japan has kind of trickled in where they're only testing a small subset of the passengers. They're only doing the ones
Let me make this a little more vivid. Out of 3,711 original passengers and crew members on the ship, how many do you think, Henry, have been tested, actually tested, to this point in time? The number I have is 439, actually.
They did one other test a couple of days ago. So it's the number tested is 714 or so. So about 3,000 have never been tested. And then there's some concern that even the ones that were tested, it's not clear that the negatives are true negatives. So, there was one case that, was discussed on one of the videos on one of the, passengers and he, I think it tested positive, then he'd gone to the hospital and he tested negative, and then they were getting ready to release him, then he tested positive. So he was going back and forth, and they basically lost confidence as to whether, you know, he was, well, they didn't know what he was, you know.
Is this a problem with the test, the assay? What is it? What's the problem?
The CDC, well, I don't know if they all have the same problem or not. I think the problem China had was that I think they had too many cases. So I think they had a shortage of tests just because they had so many people to test. The CDC said it was one of the tests was giving a equivocal result and it wasn't reliable, and they were going to, I think, replace that test or reevaluate or figure out why it was giving inconsistent results. And then Japan had said that they had a shortage of tests. They didn't really come out and said that they had a lack of reliability, but it could be that the reason they had a shortage is they decided that some of the tests just weren't reliable. And I don't know if, and it could be that all of the tests weren't reliable, or it could be that they were basically doing multiple tests, and so they were going through the tests too quickly because they were getting inconsistent results, so they were testing over, you know, multiple times. So if the test is bad, then you can have a shortage and have bad results because the bad results.
Yeah, the big story
up too quickly.
About the cruise ship today, if you joined us a little late, Henry's on an extra half hour tonight, is that the U.S. State Department has finally exercised common sense, and they're going to remove the Americans from the ship, bring them home, and take care of them here. They won't leave them on the ship, that crawling viral culture of a ship, any longer. So how they're going to do that, when they're going to do that, is not clear. The announcement was just made, though, that Americans will be removed and brought home, as should be the case with all the countries who have nationals on board. Now, that said, it's kind of crazy to do that when many of them are going to be bringing live cases of coronavirus back home. So they might want to start thinking of offshore quarantining these people if they have islands, if they're a country with islands or something, to keep from putting them into the fabric of the culture. Anyhow.
Right. Well, here, I could give you a little more details about the U.S. ones. Essentially, the plan is they've got two planes. There are about 380 that are not known to be positive. And they're going to bring them to the Travis Air Force Base in California, and the one in Texas, Lackland.
Lackland.
So they're going to those two bases, and then then they'll have a 14-day quarantine there. So they're basically starting the clock over again, and as far as the quarantine's concerned. And I think they'll do one last test there in on the ship to make sure that they're negative to begin with. And so the logistics of that's a little bit unclear to me. They said that they could be arriving as early as Sunday. And exactly how they're going to do that and, you know, get the test results, I'm not clear, unless they're going to rely upon, you know, what their status is and just take everybody that's on the ship. Theoretically has been, well, I don't know, you know, most of them have never been tested. So,
that's so right. That was my next question. How many have escaped?
I think that they will probably test them one time there.
Mm-hmm.
And how quickly they can turn that around and whether they've got mobile stations or whether they're going through Japan's and just bringing them kits or whether they're telling them to use their kits and they'll replace the kits or whether they're just telling them to use their kits because they're there. They sure used those kits a long time ago. But I'm not 100% sure how reliable the kits are. So there will be that issue. And there was issues with some of the evacuees from Wuhan that, there have been three that I can think of off the top of my head, two in California, one in Texas,
right,
that have tested positive theoretically, everybody that got on those planes for the evacuations to the U.S. out of Wuhan were supposed to be negative.
They weren't.
Those were the regulations that China wasn't going to allow anybody to go out of the country as a known positive. So in spite of that, there still were three positives shortly after they arrived. Now they could have been negative there and just become positive. And it's the same thing with all of these. Even if they test them and they're negative before they get on the plane, that doesn't mean that they're going to be negative for 14 days.
Exactly. Okay. Hold on a minute. We've got to take a break. We'll come right back and we will continue this line of conversation. 14-day quarantine. There are continual reports now that the potential is up to 24 days before this virus will fully manifest and be out of incubation. So hold on. We'll talk about that as well. Is 14 days long enough? Back in a minute with Dr. Henry Nyman. Looking at a video here, it's called Welcome Home to Wuhan, and it shows cured people who have survived the coronavirus, returning home. They're being met, in some cases at least, with hostility and violence from community members, as they are still considered to be contagious. As one guy went home, and they've beaten the hell out of him in the street, and he's cured and released. At least that's what the video says. Could the same thing happen here? Yes. We'll have to wait and see. All right, Henry, 14 days. Is that long enough, realistically speaking, given what we know about sub-Q and the fact that PCR negatives don't mean negative, and the fact that some of these kits don't work right, and other things as well.
Well, I mean, the kits have to do with, you know, whether people that are negative really are negative type thing. Incubation time, it was brought up to WHO about the 24 days, and they thought that sometimes that happens when a person's got like a double infection and they're kind of infected a second time, and that's why they have such a long time period. It's really extended because of the second infection, and they were pretty confident the 14 days was a realistic. I mean, most incubation periods are significantly less than that. They're going to be closer to 5 to 7 days or so is kind of the range, and you can see those incubation times pretty consistently. I mean, there's one case that I haven't really talked about because it's recent in Hong Kong, and these were relatives of the second case of this 35-story high rise, and the woman who lives there with her son and daughter-in-law, and they both became positive, and then another relative was also positive who they had contact with. And shortly thereafter, there were a couple more positives, and they were linked to them also. And in the report, it noted this seafood restaurant that they had visited back in January 26th.
Uh-huh.
And then more positives came up today, and they indicated that it was a family gathering of 29 people, and that all of these recent
a big dinner party. That's what it was.
Were at that dinner party. Yeah, it was. They gave the name of the restaurant, and they've got ads online. They seem to have a lot of big tables that are pretty close together. So, you could see how it could travel in a party of 29. But was striking is that, these people were probably all infected at that on the 26th of January. And they all had disease onset dates really between January 31st and February 3rd. So it was a pretty tight window. And, it wasn't.
Well, when was the dinner again? What date? The 29th?
The evening of the 26th. January 26th.
26th. We're talking about 5 or 6 days. Yeah.
Correct. And that's what it's typically. Typically, it'll be, it might be as early as 3 days. It might be as late as seven days. But, 14 days is a long time to incubate. So, that's, 24 is a very long time. That's what the idea is, that the 24 may very well be that, they had been infected a second time, and that's why they still were positive, even though it had been like 14 days, is because they had been infected at, day 13 or 14. And so it took them another 10 days to be negative for that infection. So, the 24 days is kind of an outlier. The 14 days is actually, at the outer limits, that most of the time it'll be significantly less than that. This 5 to 7 days is probably the most common, and some can have it earlier than that. So this was an example where, it seemed that all of these people were infected at that family gathering, and it was a it was a pretty tight window as far as you know, it's just one right after the other. There was only one that was on the 31st. It was like, you know, they were all developing symptoms on like the 2nd and the 3rd. You know, that was kind of the big day that everybody at least said they had symptoms. You know, it depends how they define a symptom, and that could be off by a couple of days. That
sure.
They might have
sure.
a cough, or they might think that, oh, that's not a symptom.
And there may be more coming up positive here. 9 now. A good time was had by all at that dinner, but we don't know for sure if 9 is the
top number.
No, they're
still
going.
These were confirmed like today and yesterday and the day before. So, I mean, these are most of the ones I'm talking about, other than the initial one. She was case number 42, and these are starting at 46 to 54 or so. So it's been going bing, bing, bing. Like every day it's been two or three for about 3 days. And but in spite of a little bit of a spread as to when they were confirmed, that really had to do more with when they actually were tested, that they had the history of them. And it says when their disease onset date was and when they first saw a doctor. And that's what typically happens. I mean, you're going to get more variation on when they're confirmed because they, even though they have symptoms, they might not go to the doctor immediately. And,
sure.
and when they do go to the doctor, they're going to get different responses. Somebody might send them home and, you know, take this antibiotic.
Or like they do in Washington State, send them to a motel. How was that?
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing that that's more because so many, well, I mean, there's more than one explanation here, but, you know, the vast majority of these suspect cases test negative. Now, it'll turn around and say it was probably because it's a bad test. But at least in the U.S., the negative is based on what the CDC has, and they have confidence in their tests that they're running in Atlanta. They just didn't have confidence in the tests that they were sending out and having the individual labs do it. And you know, they obviously have more experience with the test as far as interpreting the test, and they were confident that they could give an accurate result in Atlanta. They weren't confident that they'd get an accurate result at the various state labs that they had sent the kids out to, because there was one of the tests in particular. And there's some redundancy in these tests. I mean, generally, when they do the tests, they're taking multiple regions of the genome where they're doing a PCR. So it's not one result. It's like the example they gave in Canada was that the local lab in Toronto was doing three tests, and the national lab in Winnipeg was doing five tests. And they did find some positive in Winnipeg that were negative in Toronto. And they knew about these differences. That's why they sent them to Winnipeg. So they had somebody that was suspect. Toronto said they were negative. They sent the sample to Winnipeg, and they said they were positive. And it's potentially the same situation here. What the U.S. is trying to do is get the labs to the state labs so that they don't have to get a confirmation at the CDC, because otherwise it's a delay and they end up getting backlogged. And they would rather have it set up so that the test is accurate enough at the state lab that they don't have to do a second test. So the testing is an issue, and part of its supply and part of its accuracy. And I'm not sure, you know, what's going on in Japan. I mean, this positive, negative is a passenger saying the results he got from somebody that, you know, that he knew that was in the hospital. And this is the report he was getting back, but something could have got lost literally in the translation there. So I don't know for sure that there's a that they're giving a lot of false negatives, but I am pretty confident there is a shortage, and that was the excuse for not testing everybody. And the initial results, I think, are supposed to start coming today. Last time I looked, they still didn't have the results, or at least they hadn't released the results. They seem to be releasing the results later and later. So it used to be that by like 9 o'clock our time, they would have the results.
What do you think they're waiting for? Some kind of a news cycle break for them?
Well, some of it, I don't know. Some of it, it was like they had two announcements. One was that they were going to start testing the at-risk, and the other was the actual data. And it seemed that they said they were going to do the at-risk, and they just kind of sat on the data. And media reports started coming out with the results hours before they ever released it. And so I'm not sure, you know, in that case, I think they wanted to make sure that they got the first press release well out and digested before they did the second one. But in any event, they didn't do anything yesterday. There weren't any testing because I think they were switching over. And and so this is kind of the first day of at-risk who are just being tested because they're, I think they started with those that were 80 and over. So I think these are the 80s and over. And, you know, if they get a bunch of positives on this, then, you know, it's going to look really bad because these are probably the patients that are most at risk and should have been tested long ago. And they're the ones that are most likely to get into trouble. And so if they wait all this time and then come up with a bunch of positives, then
lawsuit city.
Well, it's not just lawsuit city. It's how to even word the the press release and to bring it out because you know, I'm not sure how many there are, but you know, if it's something like there's 50 people that were tested and they've even got 5 or 10 positives, that would that would not bode well for you know, the 3,000 that haven't been tested. You know, if they have anything like that, you know, 10% would be 300. If there's 300 that have been positive all along that they've never tested, then there's a good chance that a lot of the ones that are negative because they just haven't got, either the assay's not good or they don't have enough virus yet, and they'll eventually be more than 300 that are tested. And that's why I said a while ago that the biggest question is going to be whether the total number of positives is a 3 or 4-digit number. And, yeah, I think it's still up in the air which one of that, which one that's going to be.
Let's move on to some other areas that are very important. The first country outside of China to quarantine a large number of people turns out to be Vietnam. They've quarantined about 10,000 residents at this point so far, trying to stop the spread of this coronavirus. 6 more at least confirmed in Hong Kong. You mentioned that, the family gathering of 29. Vietnam, by the way, has also blocked 2 cruise ships from docking and unloading to keep infection out of the country. Panic hits Singapore. Store shelves are being emptied out there. Once panic sets in, there's not much you can do about it. Singapore's biggest bank was evacuated after a worker fell ill with the coronavirus, so they evacuated the whole bank. That's how things will get shut down. And just keep that in mind when you're thinking about the U.S. of A. The same thing can be expected to happen here. First thing that'll be blocked or otherwise disallowed will be any large gatherings, like perhaps in an auditorium, maybe even a stadium, may think basketball games in a big basketball arena inside. This could all go by the boards. I mean, they may be playing on TV with nobody watching. This is the potentials here. I do not want to, nor does Henry, in any way stir up fear. But what we're facing here is reality, and the reality as reflected from what has happened in China is really staggering. And if the CDC is saying there's absolutely going to be community transmission here, well, Henry, define community transmission for everyone.
Okay. Well, what the CDC didn't come out and say absolutely going to happen, but they said that they definitely are planning for it. And each time they have one of these teleconferences, it seems they get more specific. So, I mean, they're doing concrete actions. I mean, the concrete actions that they announced today was these five sites that they're going to be doing surveillance, because they know that just waiting for people to come forward and tracing them gives them some idea, but that doesn't really give them a good idea of what's out there. And especially if they've, potentially have kind of borderline-ish cases, their flu-like symptoms, they think they got the flu, they think they don't really need to go to the doctor for that. These probably, they have gone to the doctor, but they just kind of, this isn't what they think they have. They think they've got the flu. So the community transmission is what's happening when the virus is transmitting within the country, and it's one person. It's going person to person, but it's not, definitely, the case is positive, doesn't have to have a contact with, like, somebody in China or somebody in Asia. They can just say, I don't know how I got it. And that's right. Community right. Transmission. Like this party of 29 at the restaurant. They don't really, they're all pretty confident based upon disease onset date and who, what they have in common is this particular dinner on the night of the 26th of January. So they've all came down with symptoms, 5 to 7 days later. And they probably, the only time they had anything in common, because, it sounds like they're related, but they're cousins and they're not living together. So the likelihood that the only thing that they all have in common was this big gathering at this restaurant that happened on the 26th. And that would be consistent when they developed the symptom. So that's an example. They don't know how they got infected. I mean, they know that they're pretty confident they all got infected at this restaurant, but they don't know if it was somebody in their party. And in fact, it probably wasn't somebody in their party, because everybody's got the same disease onset date. Nobody's got an earlier onset date. The earliest onset date is like January 31st out of all these. So none of these people have an earlier, and none of them, I assume, have come forward and said, oh, so-and-so was sick at the table, had symptoms at the table. And then they could kind of track that person down to try to find out how sick they were. But that person hasn't been identified yet. But on the other hand, like I said, these all just came out. But anyway, they're an example of community transmission. They haven't been out of the country. They don't have any obvious source, and they are infected locally. And then others, kind of community, where it looks like there's some cases that are associated with a cruise ship. There was one case that was just identified in Okinawa, which is one of the stops. And this was a taxi driver. And the taxi driver says, yeah, he remembers there were three women that came off the ship, and he gave them a ride somewhere. And then he developed symptoms recently. I think he took them on the first. So I take it back. I'm not sure when he developed symptoms. He was identified like today or yesterday. So he probably developed symptoms, probably a week ago or so. It took a week between the time he got symptoms. He decided to go to the doctor. He got tested. And that was about a week after he had given them a ride in his taxi. So that would be local transmission. He hadn't been out of the country. He was just driving a taxi. And all of a sudden, he's positive, and he picked up somebody from that ship. And so he's pretty confident that that's how he got infected. And then one of the other ones that becomes more alarming are physicians. Physicians basically are operating on patients, and they have no idea that the patient is infected. And then they end up getting infected. And there, for instance, in Japan, there's several reports that have just come out in the last today, even and yesterday, of different physicians that are coming down as positive, and they're worried that it's from the emergency room type of a thing where somebody comes in
first responders,
needs surgery or whatever, and they don't really know that they're infected. And that's what happened in China. I mean, one of the issues that came out in both of the reports is that China's reporting, I think, 1,716 healthcare workers that are positive, with six of them dying. And so that's a high number of healthcare workers, and they've got a whole new set of healthcare workers from one of the provinces going to Wuhan to help out, because A, they got so many cases, and B, they've got so many healthcare workers now that are infected. And so those are examples of community transmission, that people are doing what they normally do, and all of a sudden they're infected because they come into contact with somebody that is infected there in the country. They didn't travel to China, get infected, and come back and then register as positive.
Right. Okay.
They didn't leave the country, and they got infected in the country. And in many cases, they really don't know how they got infected.
So that's H2H.
Right. That's H2H, but it doesn't involve traveling outside of the country to come in contact with one of the H's. The H2H is happening within the country, and it's just referred to as community transmission. So it's happening in the community. And that's what this surveillance is designed to do, is to pick up these community cases. So it isn't just, well, we're only going to test you if you've been out of the country in the last 2 weeks.
Well, that's all going to change pretty soon if things go the way they appear to be going.
They probably are. And that's the reason they're setting up the surveillance. They're setting up the surveillance.
Right.
So
11
quarantine
centers at 11 major airports, remember. And Henry, you said
the airports are looking for people coming into the country. This is not what these five centers are for. These five
no,
centers
inbound,
are for local transmission.
They're inbound passengers. But how are they going to effectively...
No, that's not who they're looking for. That's right. Let's get this straight, okay? There's
All
a
right.
difference. The 11 surveillance at airports are looking for people that are coming into the country, okay?
Yes.
And that's not a very efficient method. It's not very efficient because...
Well, I was going to ask, are they going to tell?
Even if you got a 14-day... Right. They're not symptomatic, and they're not going to pick them up. What was announced today is not surveillance at airports. What was announced today is surveillance at centers, part of the influenza network. So these are doctors in the United States that see patients that basically report results of influenza tests that go into their database so they can monitor influenza. And what they're going to do is these same offices that are basically sending in the data on influenza, if somebody comes in with flu-like symptoms and they're negative on influenza, they're going to test them for the coronavirus. And so they don't have to be from another country. They don't have to have been out of this country. They don't have to have contact with somebody out of this country. They are people that are just living in the United States, have flu-like symptoms, and do not have the flu. And those are the people that are going to be tested. And they're going to be tested not at 11. They're going to be tested at 5 locations. 3 on the West Coast, 1 in L.A., 1 in San Francisco, 1 in Seattle, 1 in Chicago, and 1 in New York City. So those are the 5 locations where they're going to get the kits, and they're going to be testing them, you know, on site. So they're going to run that test in that network, and if somebody's negative for influenza but they got flu-like symptoms, they want to know whether they've got the coronavirus or not. So they are looking for local community transmission. They're not looking for somebody coming into the country. The ones that are looking for somebody coming into the country, like I said, it's not very efficient. And as far as I know, they're mostly, they were just looking for Wuhan. And then they, I think, expanded that to China. But they're not looking for Singapore or Hong Kong or Japan or some of these other locations where there's definitely community transmission and, you know, people are flying into the United States and a lot of other locations from these. And the example I gave a few days ago was the British businessman that had a conference in Singapore. And then, so he wasn't in, he never set foot in China. He was in Singapore and he got infected and he went to France and he went to another meeting in France. And then he went, to the UK back home. And that's where he got, tested. And he ended up was linked, at least as of a few days ago, to 11 different people. And just as an update, one of the people he was linked to in France, that sequence was just released today. And it wasn't quite complete. There were a couple areas that they didn't have the full sequence, but it was most of the genome. And it really didn't have anything unusual. It was pretty much the basic Wuhan sequence. It didn't have some of these, you know, these ORF8 mutations I talked about and a couple of different lineages. It wasn't any of those lineages. It was about as basic as you can get. And so it wasn't anything striking about the sequence that led to this 11 contacts being positive. And actually, along those lines, there's this one site that kind of, especially in times like this where they're trying to get information as quickly as possible, they're kind of preprints. So they're papers that are written up for peer review, but they haven't gone through peer review, but you can still read the paper. And this is a paper really from researchers out of Los Alamos here in the U.S. and New Mexico. And, they looked at the data coming out of China with respect to the case reports of disease, where they can see the disease onset date and they could see, you know, the number of cases that were expanding. And they came to a conclusion that the onset date, that the incubation time was actually shorter. It was a day shorter than most people were considering, and that the number of cases were going up faster. And there are zero or R naught was significantly higher. It was like 4-something to 6-something or something. So they, instead of the 2 to 3 is what most of the other calculations have been, meaning that one person can infect 2 to 3 people, they were saying it's 4 to 6 people, which is very high, which would mean that the virus is spreading very quickly. And that's what they estimated what was going on in China before they started, you know, restricting the mass gatherings, et cetera, which seems to have brought it down a little bit. But that was their warning, is that the virus was transmitting very efficiently without any serious controls and limitations on interactions between people and going to work and going to school, da 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 da. So that's another data point. And one of the issues that seems to be coming increasingly clear is that, you know, like in the U.S., initially right now, the number of reported cases is fairly limited. They're mostly being reported by people that have traveled here from China and are seeing a doctor fairly early when they, you know, are just beginning to develop symptoms because they're concerned because they were in China. And these initial cases are turning out to be somewhat mild because they do the contact tracing. And in some cases, like the one that I just described that started in Singapore, most of those cases actually were asymptomatic. And so they were positive for the virus, but they were cases that had they not been a contact, or in fact, if he had not heard that somebody at the conference was positive, they wouldn't have gone to a doctor and they wouldn't have been tested. And the only reason they turned out to be positive because they were contacts and therefore they were tested.
I got something here to put on the table. This is
okay.
I cannot validate this. I can't certify it. I can tell you it is posted online, and I'm going to ask Henry a question after I read through this. It's from the Hal Turner site, and a lot of you know about Hal Turner, so I'll just preface it with that. Alleged CDC text messages say over 1,000 infected with coronavirus in the U.S. right now being deliberately concealed. Now, this is allegedly a story of an 18-year-old boy whose father wrote to somebody he knows in the CDC. And I'll read you what was said. While the U.S. mass media is reporting there are 15 confirmed cases of the deadly Chinese coronavirus in the U.S., a lead doctor in the CDC allegedly sent a text message to a family friend admitting there have already been over 1,000 cases in the U.S. The text also says they are trying to prevent panic. According to an 18-year-old in upstate New York near Schenectady, his father had a text messaging exchange with a Dr. Nancy Messonnier, M-E-S-S-O-N-N-I-E-R, or Messonnier, however she pronounces it, I don't know, the director of the Center for the National Center of Immunization and Respiratory Disease, that's the NCIRD, within the Centers for Disease Control. And her picture is here in this article. The 18-year-old was allegedly using his father's cell phone and saw the text message exchange. He became very angry at what he read, and he took a screen snap of it and uploaded it to his social media account. The screen snap says this. This is from his father named Frank. Hi, Nancy. Now, this lady is named and pictured as working at the CDC.
Yeah.
Hi, Nancy.
Well, just to clarify, this is who does all of these CDC teleconferences. So she's very well known.
So she's well known. Okay. All right. The father wrote to her and said, "Hi, Nancy. Hope all is well. I was just wondering if you could fill me in on what's happening with this coronavirus. Hearing conflicting things about it, is it as bad as it's said to be on the news? And should we have to worry? Thanks. Best, Frank." Nancy allegedly wrote back, and this is a screen snap. "Hello, Frank. Good to hear from you. I hope the kids and blank, his wife, are doing well. We are still investigating everything. However, I can tell you this. It's worse than what is being said on the social media and nationwide news. We're trying to prevent panic, as that only will make things worse. Please keep that between us. There have already been over 1,000 cases in the U.S., although on the news, they're just keeping things quiet for now and reporting far less to the public. Wear masks when and if you are traveling, even nearby distances. We suspect cases in over 32 states at this point. If we don't ensure our safety measures as fast as we'd like, this could spread much faster than we expected. Please stay safe, and if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask. All the best, Nancy. So what do you think?
Well,
would you be surprised if that were true?
I would be surprised if she would put that in a text message. I would put that extremely unlikely.
Well, she's going to have to step up and disavow it. Apparently, there was an effort to contact her. When contacted via Twitter to inquire if this text message exchange was real, Dr. Messonnier did not reply. She instead blocked the person asking the question. And here's a screen snap of her Twitter page, and it says, Dr. Nancy M., CDC, blocked you. You are blocked from following Dr. Nancy and viewing Dr. Nancy's tweets. All right, that's all I can tell you. If this message exchange is false, phony, or a fraud, why wouldn't the doctor just say so? Maybe she can't.
Well,
maybe she can't because it's true.
Well,
if so, then maybe she's just blowing it off. I don't know.
Maybe she said so, and they kept writing back and saying, well, I've got this and I've got that. And after X number of exchanges, she blocked it. You know, so I don't know. You know,
I'll send it over to you just so you have it. For your records. I don't know either.
I would just say that if it were true, that I just find it hard to believe that she would put that in a text.
I don't know how close of a friend she is with this guy. I don't know. But yes, good point. I don't know.
Yeah.
Why I underscored the word allegedly.
Because this is what would happen. Somebody had a text that was real, and I don't know. Then he would have a hard time denying it. And the text if the text was if the idea was if the fact was real, if there were 1,000 cases, and he was and knew of that, the idea that she would text somebody with the possibility that anybody like their kid could see it on the phone or, it could one way or another get out there. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that, I mean, this is her account. This would be, I mean, anybody can access this account.
Right.
And I would think that if she sent that out, like as a private message from her CDC account, that you could get that through a FOIA request. So that's another reason that the idea that you would put that in a text message.
Well, FOIA requests can take years. They take a long time.
Yeah, but you would have
well, your point is well
problem.
Taken, Henry. I don't know. I'm just putting that out there because it's running around on the internet. I just want people to know. That's all.
Yeah. Again, I would say it's unlikely.
She really ought to stand forward, and say this story is false and just deny it and end the rumor right there. By not responding, it runs. It's got legs. Oh, that's the problem. I wish she would stand forward and say no.
But that's what I say. This is something on the rumor, on the internet, and it's
yep.
The fact that the claim that she didn't respond and that there was this interaction And that's what led to her blocking them is, you know, you're missing everything in between. You know,
correct.
You've got an end result.
You'll see. I just sent you the screen snaps and all that. You can see them. I don't have a Twitter account. I've never done it. I don't know about it. But I thought sometimes Hal Turner comes up with good information. A lot of his information, just so you know, Henry, is fictional.
Yeah.
It just isn't real. So somebody went to the trouble of making these screen snaps look real at the very least. At the most, they are real.
Yeah, I believe that there's a screenshot. I'll just say the same thing. Yeah, it just seems unlikely that somebody in that high of a position would go and put something like that in writing.
Agreed.
and have it on the internet within 24 hours.
I just want people to know what's out there. So you've heard it now, we'll see.
Okay,
I hope Messonnier does say something. That would be good, I think. It would be helpful.
Right, because, like I said, it's not an obscure person. This is the person who does the CDC teleconferences. So she,
all the more reason she should say something
on the air today. And
I guarantee you, this is a running around all over the place now. This story. Oh.
Okay. Well, they've got her. Yeah. I'll look at her Twitter account and see if it says CDC afterwards. Cause I'm surprised that that's what it even says. Yeah. You know, so.
Let's find out. Let me know, and I'll be happy to post it. We're always after the reality of things here. Okay, let's go back to our other stories here for a minute. Over 1,700, it's maybe 2,000, you said to me earlier, Chinese medical personnel, doctors, and others are infected now. That's not a good sign. China is putting another $5 billion into the fight against it. The Chinese people are now throwing their pets out of high-rise buildings, thinking they're carriers of the virus, dogs and cats. It's really showing what this is right out of a Hollywood screenplay.
This is a quick update. I did pull up Nancy's account, and you know, it's got her email with the underlined CDC. It doesn't say CDC next to her name like that screenshot did. So that screenshot
is
not what her account looks like, right?
All right.
And I knew that you would not. People don't have CDC in parentheses next to their name.
I have no idea about how Twitter works. This is very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But that doesn't match what her account looks like. It matches her name, that CDC, but that's not what her CDC account looks like.
All right, let's put that on the shelf. It's gone. Okay.
Okay.
So all of you now are aware. In case you see this running around, you know that it's not looking real positive. Okay. Chinese are throwing their pets.
The real one, just for your interest. It's got her picture. It says Dr. Nancy Messonnier. It's got a blue check next to it that says it's authentic. And then under it's got her email address at DrNancyM_CDC. There's nothing, you know, CDC in parentheses as was on that screenshot. Mm-hmm. And it's not what her account looks like.
All right. Looks bogus.
That's a made for TV here. Made for the internet. Okay.
Which is one of the big dangers of the internet. It's like walking through a minefield. You never know.
But that is one of the reasons that they put a little blue check mark next to authentic Twitter accounts so that's been authenticated. And that's what her account has. It's authenticated like that, and it does not look like the screenshot that is going around.
As far as
the healthcare workers, that is true. That was Carrie Bolton on the CDC teleconference headed by Nancy Messenger and the WHO. They both talked about the healthcare workers. They both used the same figure, 17, 16 were infected, six died. And they both said that, you know, that was a problem and that that was the type of issues that they've seen before with SARS and MERS, and that, you know, that was a warning to the U.S. to, you know, have good sterile technique and assume that everybody's infected, essentially. That's the word that went to them.
The psychology aspect of a pandemic like this, irrational fears and so forth, which are to be expected, and we're seeing that, people, there's no evidence that pets are carriers of this coronavirus, but they're throwing their dogs and cats out of high rises, apparently more than a few
cases. Right, right, right. That was a rumor, and that was in China, and they were mostly cats that I saw anyway. And yeah, that's true, and it was a rumor, and there are coronaviruses that do infect both dogs and cats, but there's no data that says that this coronavirus is affecting out there.
Let me ask another question. Because of your long-term background and association with the CDC and so forth, how are they planning, Henry, to handle a panic, psychology, a breakdown? Let's say if this gets real bad here and a lot of the police departments are impacted and no more 9/11. You don't dial in. It could get real bad. We don't have 415 million minimum locked down in this country, but the major cities where everything is extremely dense, like a Hong Kong, like a Wuhan, are going to be targeted by this virus to really just explode if it gets here, like they're talking it may. This is a psychology, and I'm wondering how the CDC is planning to try to counter it. Do they ever spend any time talking about that?
Well, they talk about how they're trying to slow it down and blunt it and try to keep it from getting to the types of levels that it's at in in China, and the approaches they're going to take. And that's why I say the first concrete thing that they came out and said, a couple of teleconferences ago, they said that, you know, they expect that there will be community transmission here. And then this one, you know, specifically said that they're going to start doing surveillance so that they can pick up community transmission. And so they're going to be aggressively looking for it by going to these three major cities, which would be among the first ones that would likely have cases, both based upon history of, where people from China or from Asia would arrive in the highest numbers in communities where they might see it pick up. So they're kind of targeting these communities to get a hold of it early and get a better idea. The other reason I kind of have doubts about these 1,000 cases is, you know, number one, I don't think she'd put it in a tweet. but I also think that would be a hard thing to keep a lid on. So that would be the type of thing, if you have 1,000 people, what are you doing with these 1,000 people? Are you just telling
they're
them
in
they
motels,
don't have
Henry.
It?
They're in motels.
The ones in motels are the ones that are tested negative. The ones that are positive, they're not going to be putting them in motels.
I know.
I mean, their goal is to get it under control. So the point is that if there were really 1,000 people that were positive, it would be very hard to keep a lid on that, because you would have to do something with them. If you ignored that and put them in hotels, you would just make the situation worse. So that the concept that you're doing that it's much easier to come up with a whatever this guy's reputation is and to basically put up a fake story and put it on the internet and have everybody talking about it and sending it out. When if you look at the picture of the screenshot they have, it's not hers.
That's called clickbait. That's what they call it. Clickbait.
Well, I think it's beyond clickbait, you know, when you're talking about trying to incite.
Well, it's kind of like yelling fire in a theater, isn't it?
Right. In a theater that's not on fire. Right. That's exactly what it's like.
Well, see, I don't. Thank you for clarifying. I know nothing about Twitter except to read them occasionally. Yeah, I don't have it. But this is good.
What you sent does not look real.
All right. Thank you.
And the logic behind it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Very good. Okay.
We'll see. Maybe it'll be cleared up by Monday.
Yeah.
We'll see. My prediction is that is not a real email or real tweet, whichever one.
8 planes were grounded at Heathrow in the UK today in London. Coronavirus panic leaves London's Chinatown almost empty. There are all kinds of stories up at the site right now to take a look at. I did not post the one I read to Henry to get his feedback on, because I knew he knew all about Twitter, so we did that. We'll be back Monday, and we're going to bring you up to date. Lots going to happen over the weekend. I think you can pretty well count on that, and we'll keep following this. So, Henry, thank you for everything, as always, and thanks for clearing that up, and we will talk soon.
Okay, very good. Have a good weekend. I'll talk on Monday. And I'll give you some of the tweets that basically have said that's fake. I got them right in front of me, and they're from people that probably know what they're talking about.